I was talking with Dan and Edie there just a moment ago, and he was telling me that he's taken up pickleball, and I understand he's the real deal.
Amen.
Thank you very much. So now for my next act. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your kindness to us. Help us now to pull our thoughts together and to sit at your feet and to listen to what you want to say to us. Teach us thy way, O Lord, we pray. Instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. Guide us with your eye. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've talked about why we need encouragement. So let me just quickly share with you what is encouragement, okay? And I want to do that by just simply defining the word a little more. And we see it there in our Thessalonian passages and other places. But it's interesting when you study the etymology of the word, it comes from an old French word, to be made strong or to hearten. Hearten. If you're in East Tennessee, you'd say hearten. Okay? But to put in courage strong. In other words, put courage in the heart. Put courage in the heart. It works both negatively and positively. Go with me to Galatians chapter 6, please. You know, it would be an encouragement to you if I walked up to you and said, man, I sure like that truck. That is one super vehicle you got there. You go, that's great. Okay? Or to say, as I said to Brother Brinson a while ago, now this church has got it going on. I mean, they can even make their own Bowberry biscuits. I mean, whoever that was back there, you know, whatever, all right? But when it comes to real encouragement, putting courage in the heart, because, all right, you ready? The whole issue of ministry is the person of Christ. That's why we want to go to the heart, not the surface. This is heart ministry. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul. It's the heart that needs to be changed. It's the heart that needs to be encouraged. And we want to put courage in the heart because that's who we are. And on the one side, Galatians 6, 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he's deviated from the truth, ye which are spiritual, in other words, it doesn't mean you have a white collar around you and you say the thousand thuses. He's talking about somebody who's living the Christ life. Okay? Restore, correct, set the bone straight. Such an one in the spirit of what? Our gentleness. Okay, so there are times to put courage in the heart is that we come alongside someone and we say, brother, I've noticed some things in your life, and can I ask, what's going on? When I ask you how you're doing, I want to know, how are you doing? Now, you may think I'm crazy when I say this, but every Sunday, a bunch of liars come to church. I'm going to prove it to you. How you doing? Liar. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody in this room today that does not have one care, burden, something that you're concerned about, issues, or whatever? Anybody? I didn't think so. Can I just ask us to quit saying, fine, and be honest? See, if we're going to help correct and restore in a spirit of gentleness, then I got to be transparent. See, I'm afraid, are you ready for this? I'm more afraid of what you think about me than what the people know around me of the Jesus in me.
Could you say that again?
I don't even know what I said. No, I'm just kidding. I am more afraid of what people think about me than they come to learn or know about the Jesus in me. See, a while ago, remember when I told you, we don't want people meeting us. We want them to meet the Christ in us. And so therefore, I understand what I've been rescued from. And I, as my dad used to say, I don't get above my raisin. I walk humbly because of the humble one in me. By the way, humility is not me thinking little of myself. I don't think of myself at all. And true humility is when Jesus is living His life out of me. That's humility. Because He's, He's the epitome of humility. So therefore, the more I come to know Him, the more He lives His life out of me, then therefore when I come alongside somebody, it's not me who's got it all figured out and I want to help you, brother. If you could just be like me, I'll tell you what. It's saying, you know, brother, I want you to enjoy all that there is in Christ, and it seems like you're heavy laden about something. There's a burden. There's something going on. Or you're caught in a trap. You're in sin. Can I help you? Put courage in the heart. Courage is Christ. Put courage in the heart to do what? To take the next right step. That's what you're doing in ministry. You are helping one another take the next right step, and that right step is walking in Christ. That's ministry. I'm doing you no good. Denise and I were coming in here and we were just do all kinds of other things and you were not encouraged to keep walking in Christ. And tomorrow when you come here, for instance, here's another little issue in our churches. We have our own seat. And my wife and I were in a church, a rather large church. We were not ministering there, we just were attending. And we sat down in this pew, and this dear, sweet little lady walked up beside us and said, "Excuse me, you're in my seat." Well, I'm ornery. I didn't say anything. We said, "Sorry, ma'am," and we got up. But I really wanted to get up and look under the seat, look up and find her name. Probably on a gold little plaque, you know? Or anyway. You know what? Before you get out of your car or on your way to church, you ought to pray, "Lord, where do you want to sit today?" Watch this. Not, "Lord, where do you want me to sit?" No, "Lord, where do you want to sit today so that I can encourage the people around me?" See, we don't own anything in this building. That's not my seat. It's not my ministry. We want to see Jesus, right? And so when I walk in the door and somebody says to me, "Hey, how are you doing?" I say, "You know what? This morning on the way in, I want you to know God's been resisting me. My wife and I, like one morning in Pastor's Pals, I have all the kids come down on the floor and sit with me and ask this little boy a question and with a microphone in hand, and he said, "My mommy and daddy had a fight on their way to church this morning." And I went, every head bowed, every eye closed, you know, whatever. Well, so I'm struggling. Would you pray with me, brother? Or can I pray with you? I'm just going to tell you, an encouraging ministry would be one, and I'm going to give it this way, is that your church service starts at what time? What time tomorrow? I don't remember.
10 a.m.
Okay, 10 o'clock Sunday school. Church at 11? All right, let's just say 11 o'clock. What if church didn't start at 11 until 11:15? Because looking out on the congregation are people all over praying for one another, encouraging one another. Now, I understand things should be done decent in order. But when, I'm telling you, you study the life of Jesus, he got interrupted a lot. And if our heart is to encourage others, life is not about me, but it's Christ in me wanting to live his life out of me to be a blessing to others, to help meet that need. And sometimes on the negative side, a brother who's not walking right, and that is, and so your job is, if you're a teacher, and a leader here, whatever, your job is not just to teach, it's to come alongside. Parakaleo is our word, encouraging. And maybe meet with that brother during the week for coffee and read through Scripture together and pray with him and be Jesus to him. Is Jesus not a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Then that's how we ought to operate with one another. I'm going to tell you what. You want to get rid of church splits? Let's be Jesus. I promise you. It'll happen. See, it's an amazing thing. So, and then on a positive note, I just love what he says, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. But then verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? So on the positive side, I'm looking forward to coming in and saying, who can I be an encouragement to today? So what is encouragement? It's putting courage in the heart. And there's many things that we could look at in that regard. Third question I want to answer, because I'll enumerate a little more from number two there. But the third question is, how do I grow and be an encouragement to others? How do I grow in being an encouragement? Well, the obvious answer is to come to know Christ, right? Learn him. Paul said it this way, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I would trade everything I have, I count it as dung, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm jumping up and down, I'm stomping, snorting with great love and passion to all of you. Can I beg you, come to know Jesus. Don't know about him, come and know him. Sit at his feet, meet with him in the morning, talk to him through the day. Realize that everywhere you go, it's Jesus and me. And quite frankly, it's Jesus in me. Okay? So with that in mind, how do I grow? So here's a big one. Number one under that, remove all prejudices. Remove all prejudices. We won't go there, but John 4, here's Jesus, the well of Sychar. And he talks to a Samaritan. Not only a Samaritan, but a woman. She's an outcast. She's despised by the Jews. She's an unmarried woman who was with her sixth man that she was having relationships with. And the community treated her with great disdain. But all things changed when Jesus came on the scene. I love that old song, "One Sat Alone Beside the Highway Begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and he fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay." You know something? I see Jesus showing genuine love despite her sin. He did not shun her. He didn't avoid her. He didn't condemn her. But He called this woman to repentance. And she is changed. And she says, I want to go tell you about a man that told me everything I've ever done. This man is the Jesus, the Christ. How do you see people? How do you view them? I mean, just let's just be honest for a moment. Let's just start with our children. Do we see them as an interruption in our day? Under our feet? Do we see that cantankerous church member as causing my life to be not as comfortable as I'd like for it to be? And they don't agree with me? Well, you know, there's 30 people in here, I would say, and myself. And, you know, when it comes to perfection, I'm the only one that's perfect. I'm doubtful about all y'all. How about the world that we live in right now? It's not a happy world, is it? It's an angry world. And I can't change anybody by standing on the street corner with a sign in my hand blasting somebody because they live a lifestyle that's contrary to what I think in Scripture. They need somebody to put courage in their heart. They need Jesus. And it makes no difference what nationality. By the way, are you ready for this? We're all of one race. Every one of us. Just different ethnicities, nationalities. I mean, listen, I live in East Tennessee in Washington County, and Washington County people are so different than Carter County, which is the next county over. It's funny. You know, we in Washington County, we will say, did you eat? And in Carter County, they'll say, jeet. And we'll say, boy, there's a whole lot of people here today. And Carter County, they'll say, man, there's a lot of people. Mayonnaise, got the word? Yeah. Let me ask you. The Jesus in us, that little boy in class who just absolutely is giving me fits, he needs Jesus. He probably doesn't even know his name as John because he hears it all the time as shut up. He needs Jesus to come put his arm around him and say, come here, son. Let me tell you about a man that changed my life. Amen. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. He invited, and listen, what is Jesus? This is such a, I will tell you, okay, so if, oh my, time's gone. So, next month, a young couple in our church is going to the Wilds for a couples conference. I think the last time she was at the Wilds was when she went with her friend. Okay. So there's another time this girl in our church, who's grown up in our church, went. I'm just going to say this. And now a word from our sponsor. I'm going to call this girl Sarah, okay. So Sarah goes to camp with her girlfriend and goes with us. The Wilds loved both of them. And Sarah told everybody her name was Max. Piercings, tattoos. She gets to the end of herself. I'm telling you, you talk about sin. She's the woman of Sychar, the well of Sychar, the Samaritan. She's driving up the interstate near us and sees on a billboard a sign that says God something. God is in control. I believe that's what the sign says. And God used that to get her attention. She comes to church. She repents. Her lifestyle changes. A year ago, I performed her wedding to her husband at my house. And she's going to a couples conference next month. And you've got a bunch of those Sarahs. If they walk through your door, hallelujah. When you're out in town, I'm just going to be just very transparent with you. Sometimes I'll look at somebody, and the thing between my wife and me, we look at it, and this is going to be very transparent with you. And they may be covered with tattoos. And I look at my wife and I go, why? I mean, it's just that's, and sometimes I say it in a snarky way, just why? I don't get it. Now, if you've got a tattoo, I have nothing wrong with you. I'm serious, okay? My father-in-law had one when we went in the Army. Millie. It was before he married Millie. I'm glad he married Millie. Because you're ready for this? My mother-in-law dated another guy, and he did the same thing, and he lived all of his life with her name on his arm. I just love that story. So I don't care. All I'm going to say is, they need Jesus. And I would hope that in days to come that at Crooked Creek Baptist Church, there's a bunch of people in your classrooms and your youth groups serving on your missions committee, whatever, that don't look like you. Their heart has been changed. And they may still have the scars of their past, and they may have the issues of those days gone by. But I'm going to tell you what, it's Jesus in them that is most important.
Yes.
He said, I love this about Jesus. He constantly said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And who was he talking about in particular? He was talking about the Pharisees, the religious crowd, who had placed so many other laws upon people that they themselves weren't even obeying, and making it hard. By my attitude and my critical spirit and lack of love for people, I'm making it hard for people to get to Jesus. I'm making it hard for children to get to Jesus. He said, don't do anything to hinder those kids from coming to me. Get them there. Get them to me. But just get them to Jesus. It's all that matters. And when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. What's the glory? It's Jesus. And all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. So, I have to end here because of time. How do you grow in being an encouragement to others? Ask Him to remove all your prejudices. Lord, help me to see people with your eyes. Let me see them as you see them. And He lives His life through us. I'll give you one more, and I'm going to stop right there. And that is, see interruptions as divine appointments. See interruptions as divine appointments. You know, for many of us in here, we're task-oriented. We like to check our boxes. And if we check our boxes and they're all checked at the end of the day, we have had a very good day. Yes! And I revel in the fact that I got it all done. But boy, howdy. If somebody stops by and interrupts my plan, but I spend time with them because they have a broken heart or a need, or I'm downtown and you go to Ingles to get a gallon of milk And the guy beside you, you speak to him and you say, how are you doing today? Oh man, I've had a rough morning. By the way, you ever known total strangers to absolutely spill their guts to you? Just because you ask, how are you doing? Guess what? God didn't bring you, Jesus didn't bring you into Ingles to get a gallon of milk. He brought you into Ingles to meet with that man. And that's a divine appointment, not an interruption. Whew! You're talking about putting courage in the heart. Even smiling at people.
Yeah.
I mean, people. And you smile at them and they about shrivel up, don't they? You know? Speak to them. Open the door for them. And by the way, guys, you give encouragement to your wife when you open the car door for her too. When you seat her at the table as well. That encourages her. That's a marriage seminar right there, okay? But all right. So what has God said to you in this session? Just stop for a moment. Put into a sentence. What's God said to you? It's going to be different. Father, as Sheffy says in that film, we're so often just proud critters. We confess our pride. We confess that we feel like our agenda is more important than yours. But when Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and that's all that matters. So I pray that we as servants of yours at this very moment, we will put courage in the hearts of those around us.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for your continual encouragement in our life.
Yes.
Because without you, we can do nothing and we cannot be anything. It's all of you. In Jesus' name. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. I love you.
Amen.
I want to encourage you. Put courage in hearts. And let's do that